Hello and welcome to the family at World Harvest Outreach.
And I wanted to give a little testimony before I started. So you've heard me say before, that song always tears me up, and we sang it last week. It did it again, okay? And I think I might have shared before, but from the first time I heard that, I felt that, you know, the generous portion that he gives is himself. So, I mean, you know, he restores everything, but what he really gives, the generous portion that we can hardly carry, is himself. So last week, we're singing that song, and I'm already messed up because I love that song, and I heard him say in my spirit, I'll help you. I'll help you carry me. And it just totally blew my grid. Here, how good is he? He says, I will help you carry me wherever you go. To the workplace, to vacation, wherever you go. To the bedroom, to the bathroom, to the basement. Wherever you go. And he wasn't just like, oh, if I have to do it. He's excited. He was like ready to go. He said, I will help you carry me. You don't have to worry about it. I'm right here to help you. I'll even carry the bigger, I'll take the heavier load. So I just wanted to share that. And maybe it'll encourage you that he's willing to help you carry him wherever he goes. Okay, so I'm going to start with back in the beginning, God created. We know this, right? And in his creation, he created male and female in his image, right? So we are image bearers. And he put them in this garden. Eden means pleasure. Garden of Delights. And they had a lot of freedom there. It was a great place. And one restriction, don't eat from this particular tree. And they did. We know that, right? And so they instantly realized that they had, you know, disobeyed. Said that they realized they were naked. I think my take on that is that they were previously covered in light, just like God was. They were clothed in light. And when they disobeyed, nope, they saw that the light was gone. So anyways, so God comes, you know, and he's like walking in the garden. You guys know this, right? I'm just recapping real quick. And they go hide. And so God goes after them. He's still doing that, right? Anybody out there hiding, God's still after you. And he shares with them the consequences of their mistake, their disobedience, if you will, right? And he starts with the tempter, which is interesting. I mean, there was temptation in the garden. The tempter was there. They were tempted with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So evil was in Eden, or the possibility of evil, right? And so he says to the tempter, to the serpent, he said, cursed. You're cursed. You're going to be on your belly. You're going to eat dust. He said, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head, and your seed is going to nip at his heels, my version, okay? And so then, and then he pronounced, you know, judgment on the man is going to be toilsome. Woman is going to have, you know, pain in childbirth, and she's going to have, her desire is going to be towards her husband. And then he clothed them. They had tried to clothe themselves with, you know, leaves. He clothed them with animal skin. I believe it was a lamb skin myself. I think it was the lamb slain before the foundation okay, represented that. Anyways, then he expelled them from the garden. Here's where I'm going with this story, okay? He expelled them from the garden. But he had told them to multiply across the earth. So they weren't going to multiply across the earth in the garden. They had to leave the garden. So God, after their mistake, and after God issued the consequences, then he expelled them from the garden, put some angels there to guard and keep the way of the tree of life. He didn't want to meet them from the tree of the life just in the garden, the tree of life in the garden. He wanted them to go out. So here's the premise of what I want to share. God expelled them from the garden. I think he knew full well. I'm sure he did. He knew full well what they were going to do. I personally think it was all part of the plan. That's the way they were going to fill the earth. They were kicked out of the garden so they could take the garden with them. Hence the title of my message, Tending the Garden of Our Hearts. You remember in the garden, they were, you know, they had work to do. They were to manage and caretake the garden, right? So now they are kicked out of the garden. They have the garden in their heart. We have the garden in our heart. And it's our opportunity to tend and manage, oversee and steward the garden of our hearts. So that's what I'd like to talk about. So just giving that, just throwing that out there, what I'm focusing on, what scripture might come to your mind? Anybody? I heard a mumble over here.
I say guard your heart.
Guard your heart, because out of it comes the issue of life. What story might come to your mind? Guys, just, would anybody think about the parable of the sower? Okay, I thought of that, okay. So I'll talk a little bit about that, okay. So if we could see Matthew 13. This is the first place where the word parable is mentioned. Greek parabole. Parabole. It sounds like French, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like Greek. Parabole. It almost sounds like a dessert. I have a little parabole here. Okay. To me, anyways, it did. By the way, confession. I got such a big portion. I did. Dax gave me a really big portion. So I'm just going to take a little bit home for my wife. I had a mouthful. Okay, so that day, this is Matthew 13, okay? That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, leave that up and let's stop for a second. The definition of the Greek word parabole is basically a comparison. And the way Strong says, it's a comparison, a putting of one thing beside another. And then it says, as of ships in battle. And on my phone, that was in boldface, as of ships in battle. A parable is putting one thing beside another, a comparison, as of ships in battle, so as to illustrate a point. To bring clarity. So a parable is to bring clarity by putting something beside something. Okay? I just want to throw this out there. I read a book. I didn't read a book. I started a 500-page book. I'm on page 67. Okay, this is not going to be a book report. Okay, But I just want to throw this guy's quote out there. This is Robert Farrar Capone. I had never heard of him before, okay? But somebody, I acquired this book, okay? So I started reading it. It's called Kingdom, Grace, and Judgment. Wouldn't be a title I would probably grab right away. But anyways, it's about the parables. Like I said, I'm just going to give you one quote. This guy said, he was an Episcopalian priest, also a culinary chef, prolific author, died about 12 years ago. I never heard of him before, okay? But a pastor friend was cleaning out his library. I got a couple of his books. This was one. Anyways, this is what Robert Farrar Capone said. He said he thinks that all the parables of Jesus are about the kingdom. And he said, if you want to know the way Jesus' mind works, read and reread the parables for learning and, I love this, he said, and for joy. And I'm like, okay, that's a pretty good, even though I didn't ever heard of the guy, I'm like, I'm going to take this into consideration here, okay? So he spoke many to them, he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, and here we go into the parable, behold, the sower went out to sow. Let me just ask you, who do you think the sower is? Who said Jesus? I think he's Jesus too, okay? Some might say Father God, okay? Jesus, there's only one God, right? Holy Spirit is the sower. I think they're all the sower. He's the sower. The sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds, by the way, in the version I looked at, that word seeds was italicized. I've understand that italicized are added for clarity, right? But if we drop the word seeds, as he sowed, some fell beside the roadside. Guys, I tell you what, little clue. I think he's sowing himself. He's the seed. I think he's sowing himself. And I think he's always sowing himself. As a matter of fact, I think right now he's sowing himself. These are the words of Jesus, right? We read in Scripture that Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. So right now, guys, the sower is busy sowing. As he sowed, I'll just read the version. Some seeds fell by the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, we'll stop for there. Stop there for now. That's the end of the parable. I just wanted to mention one other thing, okay? To re-get the picture. Bunch of people on the shore, crowding him on the shore. So crowded, what did he do? He got into a boat and was out there. He's telling his first parable. Or this is the first time the word parable is mentioned. In the definition of parable, it said a comparison of putting one thing beside another as of ships in a battle. Here's the people on the shore, us, and Jesus is where? He's in a boat. Jesus is demonstrating by his person and his actions what a parable is. I find this fascinating. He's actually acting out the parable. He's here and we're here and he's listening to us. But ships in battle, I don't know about that yet. I might have time to get to it. Okay, so he tells this story, four conditions of the ground, right? I propose that we're all carrying the garden in our hearts. So let's see what and he says, whoever has ears to hear, let's hear it. I mean, let him hear. Okay, now let's look at what happened in verse 10. And can we look at the passion on this, please? Can we go passion translation? Okay. Now, guys, I love this part. I actually love the whole story, but I love this part. Okay, then his disciples approached Jesus. This is the Passion Translation now. Then his disciples approached Jesus and asked, "Why do you always speak to the people in these hard to understand parables?" Hello? These are the disciples. I'm so glad for their honesty. I mean, you know, I mean, who, I wouldn't say, "I got this, I know it," you know. No. They're like, "Dude, what are you talking about here?" 11. He explained. Now, get this. If you ever have trouble understanding a parable, do like the disciples and go to Jesus. Don't sit and stew about it or whatever. Just go to Jesus. Say, "Why? This, I don't understand." Okay, you can do that with anything in Scripture, anything he says. Okay. He explained. This is Jesus. Jesus explained. "You've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of kingdoms, of heaven's kingdom, but they have not." Okay, that's a mouthful. All they did, they didn't understand the parable. They go to Jesus. Okay, now, if he's in the boat, okay, he must have come. However, this is after, I don't know how it played out, okay? But they go to Jesus and they say, "Why are you always talking in these hard to understand stories, you know?" He said, but he starts out, "You've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom, but they have not." Why haven't they? Let's look. Verse 12, "For everyone," guys, this is Jesus, "for everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough. But those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, even the understanding that they think they have will be taken from them." Guys, I've got to ask this question. Do you have an open, teachable heart?
Yeah.
Today, right now.
Yeah.
Do you always have an open, teachable heart?
Yeah.
Do you think Jesus wants us to have open, teachable hearts, Braden? Yeah. The sower is always sowing. The sower goes out to sow. We're the recipients. We're carrying the garden in our heart. How are we tending our soil? But those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, even the understanding that they think they have will be taken from them. That's why I teach the people using parables. Because they think they're looking for truth, yet because their hearts are unteachable, don't let that be you, they never discover it. Although they will listen to me, they never fully perceive the message I speak. The prophecy of Isaiah, I'll go quickly here, the prophecy of Isaiah describes them perfectly. "Although they listen carefully to everything I speak, they don't understand a thing I say. They look and pretend to see, but the eyes of their hearts are closed. Their minds are dull and slow to perceive. Their ears are plugged and they are hard of hearing. They have," what's that word? What's that word? "They have deliberately shut their eyes to the truth." Oh my God, may that not be us. May we never deliberately shut our eyes to the truth. Otherwise, they would, listen, this is how good Jesus is. "Otherwise, they would open their eyes to see and open their ears to hear and open their minds to understand. Then they would turn to me and let me," what's the word? "Instantly heal them." Do you see how good he is? We sang God is good. All you have to do is have an open, teachable heart. Don't think you know it all. Can we go back? Oh, but your eye, no, yeah, right there. But your eye, doo-doo. But your eyes are, let's see, what was that, 16? Yeah. But Your eyes are privileged. Your eyes are privileged. For they see. Delighted are your ears, for they are open to hear all these things. All the disciples did was honestly come and say, we don't understand. That's all they did. Why? And they even challenged him a bit. Why are you making it so hard? And these hard to understand parables. But he goes through the explanation here. So did you get anything out of that?
Yeah.
You want to keep an open, teachable heart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, help us to do that. Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, he wants to. He said, look, I'll help you carry me.
Yeah.
He's helping us right now get something out of this.
Yeah.
If we can just, and don't close your heart when you leave. Okay, we got to go into this now. Look, okay, number 17, but not in a passion. Let's go back to NASB, please. Okay, we're going to go look. For truly I say to you that, did we already read this? For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Keep going. Hear that now. Okay, this is what I was looking for. Now, Jesus says, hear the parable of the sower. Okay, here we go. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when the affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word and the worry of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. If I didn't get this across, and I don't think I did. I don't know how you see this. I know how I used to see it, and I've seen it at times. Like, you know, the preacher stands up to preach, and, you know, 25% of the people are going to be good soil. Or that I want to be always good soil, always good soil. Okay, I don't see it. I don't know how you see it, but I see it like this now. That at any given moment, there's like the gardens in my heart, in your heart. At any given moment, when the sower sows, the word goes out, I very well may have a pathway where some of it's going to be carried away right away. Some of it's going to go over my head, or I'm going to yawn and miss something, or who knows what, right? Some of it might fall on, you know, and I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds good, but it's a rocky place, and it's not going to take root. Some of it might be, oh yeah, I receive it, right? But it's choked off by the other things, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, worries, you know, distractions, temptations. But there's going to be hopefully a little bit of good soil. What did I say the title of my message was?
Tending the garden of our heart.
Guys, we've been given authority over our hearts. We can tend it. This is much more. What's the word I want? Pliable, malleable, changeable. We can have something. We can do something about those rocky places. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
We can do something about that thorn bush. Come on, you guys have gardens. And you know what I mean? It's like, okay, I've got this little plot of ground that I'm working, right, you know? And I'm like, you know what? We could expand that a little bit and go over there and just clean out those weeds and stuff, right? You can do that. You know? I mean, you look at your heart and you're like, okay, that never sticks with me. You know, I'm thinking about the ones where the are you guys okay?
Yes, we are, Kendall.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay, well, you keep going. Okay, so we've been given the privilege of doing something about this. Like, we got our little pathway that we go. And something falls, the words of Jesus come, and you know what? It's like the birds just take it right away because it rubbed us the wrong way. Or it challenged a theory or an ideology that we clung to. Like if I was going to share, I'll use myself as an example. If I was going to share something and I'm saying, you know, I really feel good about this because on the way in here, I prayed to Mary and you guys, some of you would shut me down. You wouldn't hear anything else I said because you would shut me down. Even if I shared something true and honest and good and real, the birds would snatch that away because you're like, I don't trust that character. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if I came in here and I'm saying like, oh, I'm so glad we don't have a border wall because look at all the people coming in, the mission fields are coming in. And some of you would say, oh, this dude, he's not in the same political side I'm on. You see me? You see what I'm talking about? You would shut me down, and I'm not saying I take my word as gospel. I'm trying to share the words of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So what I always say is, if I share something, take it before the Lord and say, okay, what about this character? We've been given the privilege and the opportunity, and I'll say the responsibility of tending the garden of our hearts. And we can do something about it. I just got a wee little bit of good soil here. Well, what do? You get some fertilizer. You do something about it. You know what I mean? You water the thing. Listen, you've got a well of living water springing up in you. In the Garden of Eden, it said four rivers went out of it that watered the whole garden. Well, it hadn't rained yet. Where'd the water come from? Fountains of the deep springing up a little bit, right, Jay? Well, you've got living water inside of you to water and irrigate the garden of your heart. You can change the thing. And how about, you know, some of it fell on, you know, stony ground and, oh, it popped right up. Hey, I'm here. Okay. But you know what? I got no roots. I'm going to last till the sun comes up. So what I want to say, develop a root system. Work on your roots. Get rooted. You can do it. You can bust up some of that stony ground. Look, I'm hard-hearted. There's somebody I just absolutely won't, you know, everything's good, but don't talk about that person. My wife was talking, I'll be okay with this. She was talking to a friend, and the friend, you know, they got into, I think Mary mentioned a particular woman speaker that she liked. Well, her friend, like, don't you mention her name. She's like the devil incarnate, you know. And I mean, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know what I mean? So we all have these things. We can bust up that hard ground if we have open, teachable hearts. If we just, we be like the disciples. Look, I don't know much. I don't understand much. But I've got an open, teachable heart. And you know what? I want to grow the seed that was sown in me. Don't you want to do, you want, bring forth 100-fold, 60-fold, 30. Bring forth something that's Jesus. You've got the seed in you. Jesus said, look, I love you so much, I'm so invested in you and this whole thing, that I'll help you carry me wherever you go. That does not sound like, stuff that's not going to bear, seed that's not going to bear fruit. You got the seed with you. You're carrying the living seed. Let the thing grow. You do your part, tend that garden of your heart. Say, look, I know, I got to go to that person and ask forgiveness. Or I got to just even start with just, I got to forgive them. Lord, I can't forgive them. Lord, they hurt me so bad. I mean, I'm dealing with, I'm not going to go there. But yeah, we can manage our hearts. We can let the living water irrigate our hearts. Do you see what I mean? So parable, I got a lot else, but some good illustrations and whatnot, I think. Okay, but let's go with the ships in battle. It's going to take a little stretch, okay? But I'll do it this way. I'll just make myself the example, okay? So in other words, this is going to be my version. I thought that I'm like, what's he talking about? Okay, Jesus is on the shore, so some of these things are going to be hard to swallow, hard to digest. They're going to rub us the wrong way. Yeah, I think it can be that. But as I was kind of meditating on that thing, a parable is two things, one thing beside another, as of ships in battle, to clarify a point. And so as I was thinking about that ships in battle, for some reason, I thought two things simultaneously. One of them was the passage, and I think I gave it to you, Nick, but take me a minute to find it here. Bear with me. Got to go through. You get a little older, you got to just... I said little. Did you hear that?
A little.
I think it's Matthew 11, 12. Matthew 11, verse 12, please. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. Okay, as I was meditating on this thing about this definition of parable, the comparison of one thing beside another, and as of ships in battle, two things came into my mind. This was the first one. Now, what did I say that Robert Farrar Capone said that? That he thought the grand message of the parables was the kingdom. So I was thinking about that as I read the parable of the sower. And I'm thinking about this definition of parable, and this thing comes into my mind, one thing. And another thing that came into my mind was something I hadn't thought of for who knows how long, and it was the scene in Ben-Hur when they had the sea battle. How many remember it? You don't remember it? Jason does. Okay, so when I was a Boy Scout, we went into Pittsburgh. Our Boy Scout troop went into Pittsburgh to see Ben-Hur. And it was at this new theater where was the big panoramic screen, okay? And it was a Saturday matinee and the place was packed. So we had to sit on the wide carpeted stairs. And let me tell you, we didn't mind a bit, because we could stretch out. There was no big guy in front of us. It was beautiful, right? Sitting there with our popcorn and our raisinettes. Oh, man, we were there, right? And it was so, it was so vivid, right? The chariot race. Oh, my God. When Marcellus got all ripped up and is drug around the tracks and he's all bloody in the sands. 10-year-old boy, we're like, oh, my God. It was captivating, right? But the sea battle. I remember, so you know what I did? I did what any of you would do. I Googled it. I got on YouTube and I said, Ben-Hur sea battle. There it was, okay? It filled in some details. Okay, Ben-Hur had been, mistakenly accused of something, and he was a slave, and he's in the hold of this galley, chained in with the other slaves, rowing. And they're going into battle. And there's this guy. He's the one that keeps pace. And they would have to, and the centurion would come down and say, battle speed. And they're like, boom, 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 boom. But they're chained in, right? And they're down in the galley, and there's little slats, okay? And they can see, and one's, they're rowing, they're looking out there. And all of a sudden, the one guy goes, they're going to ram us. They weren't side by side. One of them maneuvered in and rammed them, went in, okay? It's a fantastic scene. And when you're 10 years old, watching this bigger than life in front of you, it leaves an impression. But it escaped me for some, I'm not going to tell you how many years. So it comes back simultaneously with this verse from the days of John the Baptist until now. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. And here's what I think the Lord was trying to tell me, which I'm sharing with you. It's like the kingdom doesn't want me in it. No, no, that's not it. It's like your junk is so ingrained that you're going to have to violently bust through your own crap to get past this. And that's how you, it's not that the kingdom doesn't want you. Jesus, the King, is saying, come unto me, all you and who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the reason it's so hard for us to come to him, and the reason we labor so much, is because of the own junk that we've done and have maintained, and we still continue to foster and strengthen and maintain in our lives. Does that make sense to anybody? So that it helped me to see, as I'm tending the garden of my heart, that there, I'm going to come up, like some of these stony places, I'm like, it's almost like I've worked around that stone for so long, you know what I mean? Like, I've accepted the stone. It's like, you know, and the Lord, help me out, see me, help me to, you know, like, do like David, you know, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Or like, thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against you, you know. So, but in my heart, there's this place that I've almost idolized it. If I haven't idolized it, I've just accepted it. Like, yeah, well, that's me. I step over that stone, or I go around the stone. But it's like, you know what? I'm going to do something about that damn stone. I may need to get help. I might need to call somebody. I got a problem. I got some blockage. Will you please help me? No, I'm coming right over with some laxative. No, not that kind of blockage. No, I didn't mean that. I do got some crap I got to get rid of, though. I did, pretty much. Any thoughts?
Very, very interesting, Kendall.
Interesting, he said. I have one more story, which is going to be a little bit of a stretch. But if I go to it, I will at least have completed my task and fulfilled everything on my list. Should I do it?
Yes.
Okay, we're still in the vein of parables, right? This is the umbrella that I can bring it in and make space for me to share the story, okay? When you start thinking, like I did, and I hope you do, and considering that Jesus thought in parabolically, that he thought by comparing, like, well, how's that going to work? Let me put it like he thought, and then he shared that way. So here's one that I have that, and I got time here to do this. I can do this, and we can still maybe make it. Where, like, you remember the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes? Well, right after that, Jesus says, he looks at, and there's another multitude, that's a situation with multitudes, right? And he said, you are the salt of the earth, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Then the next one, he says, you're the light of the world.
Yeah.
A city set on a hill. Nobody lights a candle and puts it under a basket. But he put it on a candlestick, excuse me, so it can give light to the whole house and people can see and give glory to the Lord, right? That's parabolic thinking. You see that? Because he said, he's comparing you. He's saying you are light. And then he compares you to a candlestick that's not hidden, but it's set up. You see that? He just worked in a... And he also said you're like the earth. But if it loses its saltiness, you're trampled underfoot. He's sneaking some parables right in there. He didn't call them parables, but he's just sneaking them right in. You see that? So Jesus says you're the light of the world. Has anybody here heard the testimony of Sapir Cohen? She was one of the Jewish hostages and was released at the first batch that was released in November. Anybody hear of her? Anybody? That's on YouTube. You think that's all I do, don't you? Some of you do. Jesus says you're the light of the world. Okay. Sapir. Okay. Just an adorable young Jewish woman that she and her boyfriend were in a kibbutz that was near the border. Now, that's where they were when the attack happened. But as she shared her testimony, she said that last year, for some time, months, she had this feeling like something bad was going to happen to her. And so she went to the doctor. And the doctor said, you do have a virus, but that is not the cause of what you're feeling. And this feeling wouldn't go away. She felt like something bad was going to happen. So she said that she didn't consider herself a religious person. She was Jewish. She's Jewish. Okay. But she said, so she started, she wanted to pray. She started looking on the internet for a prayer that she could pray. And so she found this prayer. And a prayer came up and it said, if you pray this for 30 days, you'll be fine. And she said, that sounds like a good deal. I'm going to do it. And she started praying every day. You know what it was? Of course you don't, because you haven't seen it. I'm going to tell you. It was Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? She started praying this every day. She said, I would pray my prayer. And she's beautiful. And I love her accent, the way she says it. But she says she would pray this prayer every day. The last day she prayed it was October 7th.
Wow.
She said, so she and her boyfriend were at his parents' house in a kibbutz that was near the border. And they were staying in the guest house, which was up from their parents' house. And she said at 7 o'clock Saturday morning, boom, 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 boom. Just constant boom, bomb. She said, what was going on? You know, I'm not even doing justice. It's just so beautiful to hear her testimony. But she said, so, you know, then pretty soon they get a text and it says, terrorists are in our community. And she said she got so scared, and she and her boyfriend Sasha, they didn't know what to do, and they hear yelling and screaming and shooting, and she said it's just like, it's nerve-wracking. And so they went and got under a bed, and she covered herself with a blanket, and boom, boom, and everything just going crazy. You can only imagine. Okay, then she gets another, then his phone goes off and he gets a text, and he says to her, he looks at the text, turns the phone away, and says to her, whatever you do, keep quiet. And she said she was petrified. She said she was, the way she said, I was all wet. She was just sweating. She said, and she said these yells and screams and gunshots and everything are getting louder and louder and coming closer and closer. And pretty soon they bang into her house. They're here, you know. They bang into the house and they're shooting she said they're shooting everything and they're wrecking everything. And they find them and they drag them out. They separate them. And she said when they took her outside, she saw her boyfriend kneeling on the ground with his hands in the air and his face bleeding. And she was carted off to Gaza. They both were. She said when she was in Gaza 55 days, as I remember, and half the time was in a house and half the time was in the tunnels. She said the first day that she got there, she said there was a young girl, 16 years old, and she was crying and just totally uncontrollable. And Sapir said that she knew right then why she was supposed to be there. She said, my job is to make this girl happy. Wow. Can you imagine this? Wow. For 30 days, she had read, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? She said, peace started to well up within her. And she knew she had responsibility to take care of this girl. So she said that she would always turn things around to put a happy spin on it. Can you imagine putting a happy spin on it? Because she was interested in this girl. She was focusing on this girl. And she said, one day, one of the terrorists, I'm trying to understand just how she said it. He drew a picture. First, I thought he actually lit a candle with her name on it. But I think, as I went back and listened to it, I think it was he drew a picture of a candle, and she said it was a memorial candle, and put her name on it. And she said that frustrated her. And she said, what is this? Why did you do this? This is one of her captors, okay? And he said, listen, I don't love you. I hate you. But when you are here, all this place is lit up. For 30 days, she had read, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So she was released. End of story. The reason I share that is because I identified that example with Jesus saying, you are the light of the world. That included this girl. She read this prayer of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation, for 30 days. She had the capacity to have light in her. She had the seed in her, whether she recognized it as such or not. Is it my call? No. But she could recognize peace, and she could recognize purpose. You have the seed in your heart. I believe that Sapir has the seed in her heart. I really do. Okay, you draw your own conclusions. But sometimes what I learned from that is that Jesus does everything well and in perfect timing. He loves us so much and wants to He's just so invested in us and in you and in me. He wants to carry and help us. He'll help us carry him even when we don't know it. He's got things lined up for you right now that you don't even know. He might be telling a parable to and through you that it seems all twisted and contorted. But trust him, my friends. Trust him. It's not the end of the story by any means. Your future, our future, is bright and hopeful. I know the Lord wants to help us tend the garden of our hearts, and he wants us to do a really good job. Can we stand? I want to speak a blessing over you, but first, let's just take a moment of quiet with our hearts before the Lord. And you may have told him already during this message or whatnot, but whether you have, it doesn't matter. Tell him again. Let it come from your heart. Let it come from your heart that you thank him for being so willing and available to help you tend the garden of your heart. And let him know, if it's true indeed, that you really want to be good soil. And that wherever the seed of Jesus is sown, you want that to bring forth a bountiful harvest. And ask him to help you keep a tender, teachable, open heart in every situation, even when they're very adverse, because you trust him. Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing with these, my brothers and sisters. I just want to speak a blessing in your name, Lord Jesus, over each and every one of them and their families. And I just bless them. In your name, Jesus, amen. Thank you, guys. Love you.
World Harvest Outreach is located in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, but we have family around the world. To connect with us, visit us at whocenterpa.com.